I recently called a carpet cleaner. I had three possible times to get the carpets in Jill's office cleaned, and I was looking for someone who could come at one of those very specific times. I started with a company in Los Osos. Jerry answered the phone and he said, "Now, don't I know you?" I didn't think so, but I said that we had met when he'd cleaned those carpets before. And he paused and he said something like, "Now, you're the wife of so-and-so, aren't you?" I confessed to being a tad irritated, and I brought the conversation back to when I needed him to come and what I needed him to do. Well, he showed up a few days later, on time, in fact, a little early, and as I started to walk him through the office, he stopped and said, "And how's the church going?" I was disarmed. He had bothered to work out who I am and how he knew me. I stopped focusing on the carpets and spent a little time getting to know Jerry and learning how things were for him post-pandemic. Now, notice that there was a big difference in the way we approached each other. I was in transactional mode. I had something that needed doing and I wanted to know if he could do it. Jerry, on the other hand, was in relational mode. He wanted to connect. He wanted to know me. Jesus said to the crowd that tracked him down, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." I've been puzzling about this most of the week, because we think of the feeding of the 5,000 as a major sign of God in Jesus. These people didn't just see the sign, they lived it, they ate it. So why is Jesus chiding them? I think it's because of that transactional relational thing. They wanted Jesus to do something for them. They wanted him to be the baker. They wanted their carpets cleaned right away. But that's not what Jesus is offering. The bread, the feeding of the 5,000, is a way to show hospitality, to demonstrate God's reign. What Jesus is offering is relationship. We often want God to do something for us. We want him to heal our loved one who is sick. We want him to end war. We want him to put bread on the table, keep a roof over our heads. As my friend once says, "When God answers my prayer, I'll believe in him." But what God wants with us is relationship. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And elsewhere, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God wants a relationship with us. And yes, in the context of that relationship, God wants us to share our burdens, and God wants us to co-create with her. But the relationship comes first. Now, have you noticed how rarely Jesus actually answers a question? Today's gospel gives a great example of the way he changes the direction of the conversation. It's almost like a verbal Aikido. Someone asks something and he deftly flips it over his shoulder, and before you know it, the question lies unanswered on the floor. They said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." See the flip? They asked what they must do, and he answered with what God is doing. I imagine that they were wondering whether they too could learn to make a few loaves of bread stretch to feed thousands of people. It would be a wonderful gift, wouldn't it, in places where food is scarce? But Jesus doesn't go there. Instead, he says, that it is God working in them who enables them to believe in him. It is God working in them who enables them to engage in a relationship with God made manifest in Jesus. It seems to me that when Jesus says to believe in him, he isn't asking us to believe in something impossible like the tooth fairy. Rather, he's inviting us into a relationship. Believe that I am God. Believe that I am alive. Believe that I love you so much that we can get together, we can be friends and much more than friends. It is God working in us who invites us into deeper and deeper relationship with Spirit. However we experience God's Spirit and whatever we call him, her, or them. This is grace. As I step back from my leadership position for a few months, I have been focusing on what needs to be done. Together with the wardens, the leadership team, the parish council, Jay and Susan, I have been trying to make sure that everything will continue to happen that helps to sustain this community. I have been focused, as it were, on who will clean the carpets and when. But my friends, that's not what's really important. What's most important is relationship. God working in this congregation to call us into deeper relationship as the body of Christ. God teaching us how to love each other more deeply. God teaching us how to love our neighbors more abundantly. God teaching us how to let go of grievances, of anxiety, of fear, because there is no place in the reign of God for these things, and they get in the way of open-hearted, life-affirming relationship. In the New Testament reading, the passage from Ephesians, we heard a beautiful and inspiring vision of the church. We are all given different gifts to share, and together these build up the body until all of us come to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. That's where we're headed, people of God. We are headed to becoming fully Christ-like. God wants nothing less for each of us as individuals and as a faith community. We are headed to a place where when people look at St. Benedict's, they see Christ. And that's not something that will be achieved by brilliant organization. Indeed, to talk of achieving is probably not quite right. It's not practicing and then winning the gold medal of Christ-likeness. No, it is allowing the Spirit to work in our hearts and lives. It is ever deepening relationship with God. In Ephesians, we heard, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Now, we often interpret that first bit, speaking the truth in love, as giving us the right to criticize each other's behavior. But I honestly doubt that that's what the writer had in mind. The truth is that God is working in us. The truth is that God loves us unconditionally. The truth is that in the reign of God, we support one another in love. And that's what we tell each other when we speak the truth in love. People of God, while I am away, I will be praying for you, and I will be missing you. I will be praying that you continue to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Now, Steph has teased me, saying that when I come back, you all will be telling me, oh, we don't do it like that here. I can't wait to see how we do it in November. I can't wait to see the miracles that God will be doing in our midst. I can't wait to meet the new people and hug the old people. Even in my physical absence, I continue to be part of this expression of Christ, and it gives me joy to witness God's powerful energy working here. God is calling us to new things. Let's not get caught up in who's going to clean the carpets or empty the dishwasher. Instead, let us pay attention to the prompting of God's Spirit and focus on building up the body of Christ.